In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, what does following Jesus involve? At the end of the 9th chapter of Luke's Gospel, three interesting encounters with Jesus about following him are recorded. Two invited themselves, one Jesus invited. Let us listen carefully to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." God's Word. Brothers and sisters, let us look closely at each of these three. The first expressed a very bold desire to follow Jesus. He said, "I will follow you wherever you go." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, identifies him as a scribe. Jesus had just come down from a mountain after delivering his teaching in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Much of Jesus' teaching represented fulfillment and/or clarification of the Old Testament. This fellow, being a scribe, had very good knowledge of the Old Testament and its teaching. Clearly, he was not only impressed by Christ's teaching, but also by the fact that so many listened with intense attention and admiration. The New Testament records that scribes were generally not that happy with Jesus' teaching. This scribe, however, appears to offer himself as a full-time disciple of Jesus. He wanted to be with him wherever he went, to always keep listening and learning from his teaching. He seems to be the ideal kind of follower of Jesus. Yet Jesus' response did not seem encouraging. He said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." This answer to the man's request indicates that Jesus saw through his hasty decision to become a follower. The scribe seems to have made a wrong calculation. He assumed that as a most admirable teacher with divine power, Jesus would also provide a comfortable lifestyle. This, of course, flies in the face of the modern false teaching called the prosperity gospel. Following Jesus does not provide a life of material success or easy living. On the contrary, following Jesus at times entails much opposition and even suffering. Jesus made it clear. He himself did not come to the world to live a comfortable life. He did not come to be served. Rather, he came to serve and even give his own life to ransom lost and perishing people. Brothers and sisters, it is very interesting that it was Jesus himself who invited the second man to follow him. He simply said to him, "Follow me." It seems that the man was already a follower. Jesus' call to him indicates that he viewed him as useful for the work of his kingdom. He said to him, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." We must not, however, react so negatively to the man's response, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." On the contrary, we should admire such commitment to family obligations. The fifth commandment instructs and even promises blessing to those who provide care for their parents. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." The man correctly sensed his obligation to fulfill his divinely assigned task of honoring his father, even at his death. Yet, surprisingly, Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead." What does this mean? Certainly, Jesus did not want the man to abandon his divinely assigned obligation. Let us carefully note Jesus' full instruction. "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." This does not mean refusing the legitimate effort required for the simple burial of a dead father. The reference here is not to physical death. Rather, it is to the spiritual death in sins and trespasses. This death urgently needs a divine solution, which is provided in the proclamation of life eternal in the abiding kingdom of God. This is the message of the gospel. It is the message that provides new life through the one who is the resurrection and life itself. Jesus obviously wanted to impress on him the priority of caring for the spiritually dead. This care cannot be given by those who are not made alive by following Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the third person, like the first, offers himself to follow Jesus, but with a condition. "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." On the surface, his condition sounds reasonable, but it did not reflect a wholehearted or permanent commitment. The man has yet to visit with his family and consult with them. His conditional offer indicates a lack of full understanding of what following Jesus means. This is confirmed by Jesus' response to him. He said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Obviously, the man was impressed by Jesus and thought it was a good idea to follow him. Yet he did not account for the fact that the work of the kingdom is like plowing a field. This cannot be tentative. Once a plowman begins his work, he cannot stop until his work is completed. Commitment to service in Christ's kingdom cannot be conditional or tentative. Brothers and sisters, the fact that Luke's gospel briefly lists these three events together has an important purpose. Each shows Jesus' full awareness of the real intentions and thoughts of people who were impressed by his heavenly teaching and miraculous power. At the same time, these three encounters take place in the presence of his chosen 12 apostles. The first-hand experiences were valuable lessons in their preparation for service in their Master's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, it is true that the three incidents all relate to calls for service in Christ's kingdom. Even outside of the circles of those called Christians, many admired Jesus' beautiful and unique teaching, including scientists, philosophers, theologians, and religious leaders. Some admired Jesus as a great prophet who was never touched by sin or the evil one. Yet the gospel gives us very vivid examples of real-life events showing the nature of people's walk with Jesus. The lessons apply to all of us who call ourselves Christians. Belonging to Christ is an assignment acquired neither by mere birth into a Christian family nor by receiving the sign of Christian baptism. In what way and to what extent are we indeed committed to Christ? The Apostle Paul expressed well what belonging to Jesus means to him at the end of the 8th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth, by the message of the blessed gospel. Amen.